"You're hurt," he said gently, withdrawing his fingers from her face. Aaron winced. "A few superficial burns, that's all." She closed her eyes as a horrible realization hit her. "But the others are dead, aren't they?" At first, Rickle's expression bordered on callous. Anger flickered in his golden eyes, but it dimmed as he looked at Aaron. "I am sorry," he said finally. Aaron dropped her face into her hands and let out a cry of frustration. This was the very thing she'd been so desperate to avoid. Too many had already been lost, and now these soldiers' lives had been claimed by the disintegrating freighter. They'd been sent to rescue her, and she couldn't help but feel responsible for their deaths. Something gentle dropped onto her shoulder. Rickle's hand. "We have to go," he said slowly, and it was the sound of his voice that forced her to pull herself together. She knew he didn't care much about the dead humans, but at least he'd made the effort to acknowledge her sadness. He would never be human, but he'd shown he was capable of learning empathy. "Now, how do we leave this place, Sergeant? The environment is volatile, and I don't want you to remain here any longer." A series of dull booms shook the freighter, shaking the walls and floor. Overhead, pipes rattled, and there was a great groan as the freighter listed slightly to one side. Rickle wrapped his arms around her as the floor tilted diagonally, preventing her from falling. "The fire must have ignited the gas in the pipes." Cold dread filled her. This thing was indeed a floating death trap. She thought hard and fast. Her rescue team had probably come in on a small, fast craft, but they wouldn't have been able to enter any of the docking bays without someone in navigation operating the airlocks. That was the standard security setup for a freighter like this. "I'm guessing there's a getaway craft hovering somewhere outside." The logistics of getting onto such a vessel would be tricky. First, they would have to convince the pilot to let them on. Then they would have to attempt a quick space transfer. Without the proper equipment, the wrong move could send her careening off into space. Maneuvering in zero Gs was always risky. Rickle inclined his head, a strange expression on his face. After a while, Aaron realized someone was communicating with him. He seemed to have some sort of hidden comm device, an implant maybe, that allowed him to communicate with his comrades at will. Rickle replied tersely in Cordolian, and Aaron found the strange lyrical sounds of his native language incredibly sexy as they dropped from his lips. Shit, she shouldn't be thinking about such things at a time like this. "My people are coming back to get us," he informed her. "I believe the first docking bay's airlock failed to close properly. We will go down there and wait." Aaron nodded, studying him carefully. Even though he acted normally and spoke normally, he wasn't breathing at all. His chest was perfectly still. It was slightly unnerving. He was like a living silver statue, carved from unbreakable stone. She removed the respirator from her face and handed it to him. "Don't forget to breathe." Rickle gently pushed the apparatus away.
"I can last long enough without it."
His look was one of mild surprise, as if her concern for him were something out of the ordinary. Aaron wasn't used to being looked after either, but when Rickle worried about her, it only felt natural.
"Let's go."
He drank her in with his luminous golden eyes, handing her his soul in a glance. He showed her everything, his worry, his anger, his darkness, his light, his emptiness. And he invited her in.
"Come."
Her cheeks stung. Her throat burned, and her legs felt like jelly. But all of those things faded into the background as she took his hand. Aaron had stared death in the face before being snatched from its jaws by her lover. She wouldn't die here. There was too much they still had to do. Chapter 21. There was movement in the air when there shouldn't have been. Rickle led Aaron into the main dock, searching for any means of escape. The First Division were looping around, ordering the old human pilot to maneuver the Arawin back to Docking Bay 1. But they couldn't enter or exit because there was nobody to operate the airlocks. As they strode across the vast floor of the docking bay, Rickle saw the reason for the draft. A stream of air was being sucked into the airlock and out to space because it was partly open. There was a narrow gap between the inner doors, just wide enough for a person to squeeze through. That explained the low oxygen in these parts. He was glad Aaron had her respirator. He would put his body through all kinds of pain and torture as long as she was safe. He might have to steal some of her air soon, though. His body could go without oxygen for some time, but starve it long enough, and his nanites would fall into a low-energy state and retract. Another dull boom echoed in his ears, and the freighter shifted again, causing the floor to slope at a 45-degree angle. As Aaron lost her footing and slid down, Rickle drew his dagger and slammed it into the floor, using it as a handhold as he grabbed her around her waist. She latched onto him as the lights flickered and went out, her eyes blind and trusting in the darkness. "You know what I just saw before the lights went out?"
"What is it, Aaron?"
"A fucking escape pod." "I can't see now, but look down, straight down, and you'll see a dull gray structure against the wall. It has a large red triangle on the door." Rickle saw it. It was surprisingly large for an escape pod, designed to fit perhaps 15 to 20 humans. In contrast, Cordolian ships were fitted with numerous small escape pods, designed to fit one or two people only. In an attack or disaster scenario, having multiple pods maximized the entire crew's chances of survival.
"You know how to work that thing?"
"Of course."
"Is it trustworthy?"
"Federation regulations require it to be checked and maintained once every 6 months. We can only hope they've kept it to standard."
"There is oxygen inside?"
"There'd better be."
"Then, hold on, my love."
In a series of fluid movements, Rickle wrapped himself around Aaron, rolled onto his side, pulled his dagger out of the floor, and held onto her tightly as they slid down the smooth, sloping floor. He crashed into the escape pod, feet first, protecting Aaron from the impact. Rickle bent his legs and sustained the force of the blow as Aaron flicked on her guide light and punched a clear panel beside the door. It shattered, revealing a yellow lever which she pulled. The doors slid open with a hiss, and Aaron pulled Rickle inside. He opened his mouth and took a deep breath as stale air entered his lungs, and his heart started to beat normally again. A light flickered on. There were multiple seats inside, arranged in pairs. Rickle counted 16 in total. Aaron slammed the door shut, pulling a large yellow lever to lock it. She then entered a series of commands into a data panel on the wall. Her movements were fluid and practiced, as if she'd done this kind of thing 100 times before. 2 minutes, she declared. But Rickle had no idea what minutes were. Aaron scrambled towards a pair of seats, pulling Rickle with her. Even though the entire pod was tilted at a sharp angle, she moved nimbly and swiftly, strapping herself into a seat and motioning for Rickle to do the same. Rickle activated his comm.
"We're shooting out of here," he informed his comrades, who were waiting nearby on the Arawin. "Found an escape pod. Don't bother coming to get me. Just put some coolix between yourselves and that large floating piece of shit. It's unstable." "First Callan, now Rickle,"
he thought he heard someone, it sounded like Kale, mutter disapprovingly in the background.
"Contact us when you are clear," the warrior snapped.
The comm ended abruptly as a low hum reverberated through the pod. It was powering up. Aaron's fingers closed over his as a great metallic groan shook the freighter, followed by another explosion. Their world tilted sideways as the escape pod accelerated, shooting them out into the frigid vastness of space. Chapter 22. They were drifting away from the Hendrix II, and away from the Marcia, heading towards infinity as the pod's thrusters propelled them away from the danger zone at high speed. At least, that's what Aaron thought was happening. She had no way of seeing outside, because the pod didn't have windows. There was only the utilitarian gray of its walls and the harsh white light shining from the ceiling. And Rickle. And he was naked. Again. "What are you doing?" she asked sharply, as the pod slowed to a constant speed. Once they hit inertia, with no accelerating or slowing down, it almost felt as if they weren't moving at all.
"Feeding my nanoparticles," he murmured,
his eyes lighting up as he gazed upon her.
"Why don't you let me see your pretty face?"
Aaron glared at him, trying to hide the giddy feeling that had overtaken her. Her hands flew to her face, and she peeled away her respirator mask, taking a deep breath. It was so good to be able to breathe normally again. Rickle unstrapped his safety belt and floated up into the air, leaving his weapons carefully arranged beside his seat. In a small pod like this, there was no gravitron to keep them grounded. He grinned, and despite her reservations, Aaron couldn't help the coy smile that tugged at her lips. He was just so fucking gorgeous. He drifted closer until he was poised just above her, and Aaron felt the urge to kiss him all over. Not just on his sly, arrogant lips. She wanted to taste all of him.
"Look at you," she whispered. His physique was out of this world.
Unashamed, she ogled him from head to toe, starting from the bottom, noting his long, muscular legs, which tapered to a taut, narrow waist. Of course, she couldn't ignore the obvious. His cock was proudly erect, a trace of moisture beading at its tip. His cock, like the rest of him, was perfectly formed. There were small ridges that ran along the top of its length, and Aaron's mouth watered at the thought of Rickle sliding inside her. Her anticipation was building like a summer storm. Her gaze took in his abdomen, which began in a taut V of lean, sculpted muscle, rising to an impressive six-pack, which flexed as he grabbed the arms of her seat, drawing himself closer to her. Above his taut abdomen, powerful shoulders and arms sat atop chiseled pectorals. Aaron marveled at the sight before her, even more so because she'd seen this body in action. She'd seen what he was capable of. Strong, swift, silent, and incredibly lethal. He was all of those things, and he could have saved himself 100 times over when they were on the freighter. Instead, he'd chosen to save her, to protect her. And nobody had done that for Aaron in longer than she could remember. Why would they? She was used to looking after herself. Now he offered himself to her. Her eyes traveled to his face as she admired his elegant features. His grin had faded to a gentle smile, his sharp canines hidden behind dark lips. He brought one hand up to her face, caressing her skin with a feather-light touch, taking care not to hurt her. It still stung a little. Aaron grimaced. She'd been singed by the heat of that inferno, and she probably looked like a lobster. She hoped her eyebrows were still intact. Rickle didn't seem to care. He pulled himself closer, his body still suspended in midair, as if he were a magical creature. He pressed his lips against her forehead, kissing her tenderly, his tongue caressing her singed skin. It stung and tingled at the same time. The sensation was wonderful. He trailed slow, gentle kisses down her cheeks, his lips exploring her face. He took his time, kissing her at the angle of her jaw where it met her ear, nibbling playfully on her earlobe, his sharp fangs grazing her delicate skin, kissing her behind her ear, trailing kisses down her neck. "I have waited far too long for this," he whispered. "It has been one of the most difficult, painful, trying things I have ever done." "Why did you wait so long?"
"I wanted you to give yourself freely to me. Conquest is sweetest when taken freely, isn't it, my Ashika?"
"Conquest?" Erin raised an eyebrow, amusement coloring her voice. "I wouldn't know about that."
"You are my prize, human. Now, let me share the spoils of conquest with you."
He kissed and licked the sensitive spot behind her ear. Her body went wild at that, a jolt of pure carnal arousal coursing through to her pussy. For the first time in her short life, Erin was rendered speechless and helpless, because right now, Rickle could do anything he wanted to her, and she wouldn't fight or protest. He had her dancing at his very skillful fingertips. He deftly undid the upper straps of her safety restraints, the ones crossing over each shoulder. Then he played with the one that ran over her hips, unbuckling them with ease. As his hand brushed over her thighs and lower belly, Erin felt wetness seep through her panties. No longer held in place, her body started to float upwards, and Rickle followed, pulling her towards him.
"Have you ever had sex in zero G's before?"
"No," Erin replied. "I haven't. Have you?"
"I haven't," he said, a mischievous note in his voice. "Not at all."
He regarded her with a cryptic look as they floated above the seats, moving into a horizontal position. Erin was in a dream. She was drifting through space with this magnificent creature, who was both irresistibly perfect, almost to the point of being unreachable, and yet so beautifully flawed. At times, his vulnerability made him seem almost human.
"Then we're both about to find out what it's like."
With great care, he began to undress her, sliding her flight jacket off her shoulders and down her arms. It floated away as his attention was diverted to her body.
"I like this garment so much better than those horrible armor suits they make you wear."
"We can't all run around in form-fitting nano-armor." Erin reached out and placed her hands against his chest. From his appearance, she'd been expecting his skin to feel rough or cold, but it was smooth and soft and warm.
"Only you guys seem to be able to get away with that." "But you pull this off magnificently," Rickle purred, toying with a hidden zipper nestled between her breasts. "And now it's coming off for me."
He unzipped her from her breasts to her waist, exhaling slowly as a thin strip of her pale skin was exposed. Erin trailed her hands down his stomach, eliciting a small shudder from him. When she reached his cock, she curled her fingers around it. He groaned. She tightened her grip and pumped up and down. Rickle closed his eyes and gasped, his voice infused with a delicious mixture of tension and pleasure. When he opened his eyes again, his pupils had dilated, and his brilliant yellow irises had darkened a shade, turning the color of burnished gold. Aaron became lost in his gaze. She stared into his face and marveled at what lay behind those eyes. This alien, so strange, yet so familiar, had come to her from a place she couldn't even comprehend. What was his planet like? She couldn't even imagine. Rickle bent his head, pressing his lips against the soft skin between her breasts. He inhaled her, tasted her, and kissed her as she teased his cock with her strong fingers. Becoming frantic, Rickle pulled her suit off her shoulders, revealing her toned, muscular arms. He stripped her down, the Syntech fabric stretching as he peeled it off her, revealing her breasts, her stomach, her waist. At the sight of her bare breasts, he growled and took one of her nipples into his mouth. Aaron arched her back and released a throaty cry as he sucked her, forgetting where she was. His hot mouth and nimble tongue sent her wild, her nipples hardening as he paid careful attention to one, then the other. All the while, they floated weightlessly in the air, two beings at the physical peak of their existence, answering the primal needs of their bodies. Rickle broke loose with a gasp and stripped her to her ankles, slipping off her knee-high boots. "Finally," he sighed, and there was great satisfaction in his voice. "I've been waiting for this for so long. I've been waiting for you. I want you so badly." "I want you too," Aaron rasped as he pulled her against him, his cock pressing up against her lower belly. As their bodies met, a warm, tingling sensation spread throughout her body like wildfire. Deep, aching need unfurled in her core, and she yearned to have him inside her. As Rickle held on to her, they drifted through the cabin, slowly rotating. The feeling of weightlessness made Aaron more aware of the pleasurable sensations coursing through her body. Rickle's hands were all over her, caressing her back, sliding over the curve of her ass, gripping her lean thighs. "Human," he whispered, bringing his hand around to her pussy. "I think we are very compatible." "So it seems." Aaron barely managed to get the words out as he tucked his fingers under the edge of her panties, sliding them down. "This is what I am most interested in." He slid one deft finger into her moist entrance, making Aaron gasp. He pressed his other hand against the small of her back, drawing her closer, sliding back and forth, increasing his speed, until all Aaron could do was close her eyes and let him take over. Her body was no longer under her control. Rickle pressed his lips against the hollow of her neck, sucking on her skin. His hot mouth was like molten lava, and together, with a gentle thrust of his fingers between her moist folds, the experience became insanely erotic. And he was just getting started. Rickle brought his lips up against her ear. "My sweet human," he said. So softly, his words were in between a thought and a whisper. "I never thought I would find someone like you at this end of the universe. You're too good for me by far, but I can't help but surrender to these instincts of mine." What? Aaron thought, through a haze of mind-numbing pleasure. His words and actions were having a strange effect on her. they rendered her incapable of any logical, coherent thought.
I can't help but crave you every waking moment. You invade my thoughts and drive me to near insanity. I can't stand the thought of you being with another. I need you to be mine alone. Do you understand that, my love?
Moaning, Aaron nodded. Rickle growled and pressed his lips against the soft skin just above her collarbone, possessively grazing her skin with his fangs. Aaron brought her hands up and ran her fingers through his silky soft hair. Everything about him was tactile bliss. Even though he looked so hard and dangerous, and Jupiter knew he could be hard, he felt wonderful under her fingertips. Her hands drifted down to his temples, where she felt a curious bump on each side. A low, throaty moan escaped Rickle's lips as she touched those points. Aaron liked that sound, so she caressed him again, focusing on those points, which seemed to be sensitive. He groaned and pressed his fangs against the bare skin of her neck, breaking her skin. Aaron cried out as the heady combination of pain and bliss sent her into the next dimension. His warm fingers were deep inside her, stretching her, making her writhe in pleasure as she curled her strong legs around him.
"I need more," Aaron whispered,
running her thumbs over his sensitive points.
"Give me more."
She'd turned into a lustful, carnal creature, her mind and body completely possessed by him. She couldn't think of anything else but giving him pleasure and gaining it in return. And that turned her into a woman possessed as frantic need swept over her. Rickle slowly withdrew his fingers, eliciting a low, animalistic growl from Aaron. They were almost upside down now, but she didn't care. She was barely aware of her surroundings. She grasped his magnificent cock and guided him towards her, teasing her entrance with its glistening tip, rubbing it against her clit. The sensation nearly made her howl. Instead, she whimpered. Rickle let out a deep cry and slammed inside her, the ridges of his cock grazing over her clit. The sensation sent her already saturated arousal into overdrive, and a new feeling worked its way into her core, a tension that made her grip him tightly with her legs and fuck him hard as they twisted slowly in the air. Her only anchor in this gravity-deprived place was him, so she clung to him like a demon as they went crazy for one another. Rickle didn't hold back any longer. He used his powerful limbs to keep her exactly where he wanted her, thrusting his hips as their lean, sinuous bodies collided and eventually became one. Aaron lost all awareness of time and place. All she knew was that her pleasure was building, and as they moved together, entwined, she took more and more from him, and he demanded the universe from her. And he took it. And in return, he gave her release like she'd never known. The orgasm ripped through her like wildfire. She stiffened and arced her back as Rickle fucked her relentlessly, increasing his rhythm as she yelled out and gave full throaty voice to her climax. In the depths of space, one could be as loud as one pleased. Rickle pushed her harder, his breath coming in harsh rasps as he consumed her, his powerful body wrapped around her. Aaron slid her fingers up his muscular back and neck, winding them into his silky soft hair as he thrust deeply inside her, moving faster and faster until Aaron was quivering all over again, and one orgasm became two. This time, Aaron howled to the stars and back as Rickle came with her, crying out her name. His lips were on her again, planting fierce kisses all the way from her mouth to her collarbone, his tongue feathering over her skin, which was now slick with sweat. He licked the spot where he'd marked her, and Aaron relaxed against him, curling her arms around his neck. She was completely, utterly spent, and she felt brilliant. Aaron stretched as Rickle held her tightly. They were drifting slowly through the cabin, and Rickle was smiling. It was a soft, gentle smile, without the hard, glittering edge she was used to seeing. This smile touched his golden eyes and made her insides melt all over again. This smile transformed his features, making him seem almost boyish and innocent, even though he was anything but, even though his fangs peeked over his lower lip, a clear reminder of his alienness. "How is this possible?" she asked, luxuriating in his warmth and nearness, still half amazed that this being, who could cut through metal walls and survive rocket blasts, was all hers. "I learned long ago not to ask things like why or how. If it's good, just accept it." He placed his fingers under her chin, tilting her face up so that he was looking straight at her. "And we are beyond good together." She couldn't deny it. Even though they were supposed to be enemies, this thing between them had grown until it was an entity of its own. "I used to question everything, but after a while I stopped. Being in the military does that to you." She traced her fingers down his cheek, which was warm and dry. Apparently, Cordolians didn't sweat. "But when it comes to you, I have to ask questions, because I need to know you. What are you, Rickle, and how can you be this way with me? I thought all Cordolians were hell-bent on conquering the universe and enslaving all other races. Aren't you supposed to be cruel and ruthless?" He kissed her on the lips, long, slow, and hard. "I can be," he said, with a certainty that sent a tiny chill through her. "I have been cruel in the past. I will probably be cruel in the future. But not to you. Never to you. We protect our own, and now that you're mine, even the fucking Empire itself can't come between us. I might be a wretch, but I know how to take care of what's mine." Mine. He declared it as if it were the most natural thing in the universe. The enormity of it made Aaron's heart flutter. It was both terrifying and exhilarating. "I would do the same for you," she confessed, although she had no idea what she could possibly protect him from. He kissed the top of her head. "I know you would. You're a natural protector." Aaron shook her head. "You give me too much credit. I just try and do what's right." She didn't mention the persistent sense of failure that dogged her. She was a misfit, who should have been sitting in some cushy officer's position back on Earth. If everything had gone to plan, she would be following in her mother's footsteps. But instead, she'd been relegated to a floating backwater called Fortuna Tau. Ever since her demotion, she'd felt a constant need to prove herself. She'd forced herself to be faster, stronger, and more hard-working than the rest of the peacekeepers on that ill-fated mining station. It hadn't been enough. What was it her mother had called her again? A colossal fuck-up. So what? You'd better stop ruminating, Varga. There was no point in thinking about those things now. After all, she'd come to enjoy the relative freedom of operating in space. They did things differently up here. Rickle's golden gaze dragged her back to the present.
"That's the difference between you and me," he said, a trace of admiration in his voice. "You try to save people. I merely follow the orders of my commander, and occasionally I take what I desire."
His expression turned wry, his tone half-serious. This was his way of becoming guarded, and there was that smile again, the one that never quite touched his eyes. That expression of his could be brutally mocking or scarily bleak.
"Why do you get flashbacks, Rickle?" she asked in a subdued tone, surprising herself.
The question had been on her mind for some time, but she was almost afraid to hear his answer. For a split second, so quickly she almost missed it, his eyes turned hard, like polished amber. A gamut of emotion crossed his face as he warred with himself, but a part of him finally won. Absently, he pressed his thumb to the spot where he'd marked her with his fangs.
"I don't really know. You see, I'm a half-person. I don't have any memories of who I was before they changed me."
Aaron's eyes widened in disbelief. "You sure don't act like someone who's lost their memories."
"I was taught not to question such things. I was brainwashed."
"Was?" Shocked, Aaron stiffened. He'd admitted it so easily, as if it were no big deal.
"It was very effective at first, but over time it started to wear off. They thought they could control us by erasing our memories. They thought they could put a mind bond on us, just like their cursed silent ones. But nanoparticles interfere with mind bonds, and eventually things come back, including fragments of memories long past. So, you see, I'm walking around with half a brain in my head."
"You aren't a half-person," Aaron said vehemently, suppressing a shudder. What had her Cordolian been put through in order to become what he was now? Perhaps she would never know the full extent of it.
"Don't you ever call yourself that again, Rickle. I don't care if you can't remember everything. You are who you are, and I'll take you as you are."
She was only getting a small glimpse into the dark world Rickle had come from, and it was unsettling. What would happen to the human race if the Cordolians ever reached Earth? She didn't know, and neither did Rickle. But the fact that she'd just made transcendent love to one of them gave her hope. He wasn't at all what she'd expected a Cordolian to be like. Rickle shook his head in wonder.
"See how much I need you," he mused, half to himself, before raining another storm of kisses upon her.
They were still floating, like capricious spirits out of some ancient tale, except that they were in an escape pod, waiting for somebody to find them. As soon as they'd ejected, a distress signal would have automatically gone out to all spacecraft in the near vicinity. Right now, that would consist of the Arawen and the Marcia. It was a little concerning that neither of the vessels had tried to make contact yet. Had Rickle heard from his people yet? She had no idea what the range of his hidden comm device was. As they drifted, Rickle's arm shot out, and he snagged something out of thin air.
"I get the feeling we'll have company soon."
He draped her jacket over her shoulders, then hooked her utility suit with his toe.
"That's just a hunch?" "I felt something just now. Vibrations."
She stared at him blankly.
"But you're floating."
He wasn't touching any part of the escape pod's hull. How could he possibly feel any sort of vibration?
Rickle shrugged. "Just a feeling I get. Happens sometimes."
By now, Erin knew better than to doubt Rickle's weird preternatural instincts, so she started to dress herself. As if on cue, the pod's comm started to chime. Rickle withdrew from her, raising his eyebrows as if to say, "I told you so." "Shit!" Erin tugged on her utility suit and smoothed down her cropped hair, trying to make herself look presentable, and not like she'd just had wild sex with a sensual alien. As she settled back into her seat, buckling herself in, the heady afterglow of their lovemaking faded, and cold, hard reality hit her like a wet slap in the face. The rescue team that had been sent to retrieve her from Fortuna Tau were dead. Rickle and his fellow warriors, who just so happened to be near-indestructible super soldiers, were going to force their way into Earth, and she was probably in big fucking trouble. Chapter 23. Erin. Her mother's image appeared on the flat screen as Erin sat forward, tension making her stiffen. For a moment, they just stared at each other. Two human beings trying to communicate something profound across the cold void of space. They failed. If there was something Alison Varga lacked, it was the ability to express emotions with words. Perhaps Erin had become a little that way herself. Erin wanted to rail at her. She wanted to throw something at the screen and scream, "Why didn't you fucking come when we were there the entire time waiting to be rescued?" But she already knew the answer. Her mother was trained in the Federation way, and all she understood was hierarchy and protocol. There was no way she would have gone against orders from Nova Terra. When her mother joined Federation forces, she would have sworn to uphold and defend the people of Earth above all else. Above all else. Above family ties. Above flesh and blood. Sometimes Erin wondered if these Federation people even remembered what it was like to think. If Rickle's brainwashing had been undone by time, hers had been undone by spending 2 long years with borderline criminals on a dilapidated remote mining station. The Federation wasn't all it was cracked up to be. "I'm glad you're safe," her mother said finally, shocking Erin to the core. For the first time, she noticed the dark circles under the general's eyes. The lines at the corners of her eyes had become more prominent, and the hair at her temples had turned completely gray. "Is anyone with you?" She spoke in Universal, the standard language of the Federation forces. If she'd wanted to be informal, she would have switched to English. But they just weren't that close. Rickle had found a patch of shadow in the corner of the pod. He was well out of sight of the holoscreen's camera radius. "I'm alone," Erin replied, schooling her features into a blank expression. If it got out that there was a Cordolian on board, there would be trouble. "When I heard that you weren't on the last transport out, I sent a retrieval team in to find you." Her mother sat ramrod straight, not moving a muscle, but her voice carried the heavy weight of responsibility. On paper, sending in a valuable retrieval team to rescue a single soul might be considered irresponsible by the big heads in Nova Terra. But General Varga had sent them in anyway. Sometimes actions spoke louder than words. The senior Varga sighed. For the first time, Erin saw a woman who'd sacrificed family for duty and ambition, and had probably struggled with the weight of that her entire life. "We lost 6 data feeds in the blink of an eye." There was nothing more to add to that. They both knew what it meant. The retrieval team were dead. "How did you get out, Erin? What happened?" There was an explosion from a volatile gas leak. The freighter's taken a lot of damage from the Zargek. I managed to get out, but they weren't so fortunate. I'm sorry. She held her mother's gaze, a tumult of conflicting emotions coursing through her. She was surprised and grateful for her mother's intervention, but survivor's remorse stung hard.
The freighter has become extremely volatile, the general said softly, unable to offer Aaron any sort of consolation. I knew that when I sent in the rescue squad. Questions are going to be asked, Aaron. Non-human affairs are already on my case. According to your squad members, you were seen with a Cordolian shortly before the last transport departed.
Negotiating isn't a crime. Aaron froze, hoping Rickle would keep his cool. If they found out that he was inside the pod with her, listening in on a secure conversation, she could be in big trouble. She discreetly tucked a hand behind her chair, motioning Rickle to wait, because he could be unpredictable at times.
I told them you couldn't possibly be involved in anything untoward, but they want to bring you in for questioning anyway. I'd rather bring you to the Marsha immediately, but they assured me it would be brief.
Who? Aaron blinked in confusion.
Non-human affairs. One of their surveillance cruisers is in the vicinity. They'll be retrieving you shortly.
But... Aaron opened her mouth to protest. This situation was getting way out of hand, and the last thing she wanted right now was to be put through an interrogation. She was hopelessly compromised, and she knew it.
I don't have anything new for them.
Except for her relationship with Rickle. Would they see through her? She was supposed to be collecting data on him, not sleeping with him. Although she could spin the latter to her advantage if she really wanted to. Sleeping with the enemy. Spies did that kind of shit, didn't they? Not that she'd ever have the stomach to lie about such a thing. Sweet Rickle. How could she betray him when he'd saved her life and stuck with her every step of the way?
I'm afraid this is out of my hands, Aaron. It's above my security clearance. Just comply with their requests and everything will be fine. I'll see you planetside.
Her tone softened.
Even if I'm going to be reprimanded for breaching protocol, it doesn't matter. We managed to get all those people off the freighter with minimal loss of life.
Yeah, that was something at least.
FNA will make contact with you shortly. Stand by.
And just like that, the calm ended, and Aaron was left wondering how she was going to get out of this galaxy-sized hole she'd dug herself into. Rickle emerged from his corner. He regarded her with a long-burning look before he activated his calm and spoke to someone on the other end in rapid-fire Cordolian. When he concluded his conversation, he drifted to her side like a silent shadow. He'd activated his armor again, much to Aaron's disappointment. She appreciated his naked form. He leaned in, his lips grazing her cheek.
I don't understand your planet's politics, but you don't need to shield me from your people. They can't halt the inevitable. I am an enemy to your people, Aaron. That isn't going to change just because you're mine.
His lips found their way to hers, and he kissed her again.
My brothers encountered a little problem, but they're on their way now. Soon, we'll be away from all this unnecessary nonsense. By now, your leaders should understand where we all stand.
She shook her head, her jaw set at a stubborn angle. Her mind was racing. We haven't declared war on Cordolians, and vice versa. At least, not yet. I don't think the Federation knows where you stand in the grand scheme of things, but we need you to kill the Zargek for us. Maybe that makes us allies. What we're doing isn't breaking any laws. But my people won't see it like that.
I don't care how they see it, Rickle murmured.
Perhaps Aaron was imagining things, but he seemed to radiate menace. It was like a black aura surrounding him.
If they try and mess with you, they'll answer to me.
He said it matter-of-factly, and that made his statement all the more chilling.
Rickle, Aaron warned, you need to let me deal with my people. They don't respond well to threats and violence.
But they work, don't they? Look how far we've come with just threats and violence. Somehow, he managed to look deceptively innocent. Aaron wasn't fooled. You deal with your people, I'll deal with mine.
That sounds rather sensible, Sergeant Varga.
Aaron froze as the holoscreen came to life. There had been no calling chime, no accept/deny option. The holoscreen had just switched on, overriding the usual channels.
What do you want? Aaron blurted, taken by surprise.
On the other side of the comm was the woman who called herself E1. She was wearing Federation flight attire and sitting in what looked like a standard transport seat. She wasn't on Earth anymore. She was in space.
It appears you've done exactly as we asked, E1 said, giving Rickle a cold look. We'll be retrieving you now for a debrief. Get ready for an interspace evac. We're coming up beside you.
No, Rickle growled, placing a possessive hand on Aaron's shoulder. It wasn't just her imagination. A palpable darkness rolled off him, oppressive and terrifying. She stays with me now.
We're coming to retrieve her, alien. You don't have a choice.
Touch her, and I'll skin you alive.
E1 wasn't moved by his threats.
The sergeant has some information we need. Therefore, we need her. In the event that we are unable to retrieve her, we have been authorized to erase that information in order to prevent it from getting into the wrong hands. As long as she's with you, she's a liability to Earth.
Erase?
Rickle's tone made the fine hairs on the back of Aaron's neck stand up. Rickle, she began gently, trying to hold his seething anger at bay. She knew him well enough by now to be able to sense the danger radiating from him.
There are two options here, alien. Release Sergeant Varga and we will leave you, or keep her with you. If you refuse to let her go, we have no alternative but to eliminate the evidence.
What are you trying to say, Agent?
Aaron raised her voice in frustration. A bad feeling had wormed its way into the pit of her stomach. This didn't make any sense. Evidence? Liability? The Cordolians could have pumped any of the humans on the Hendrix II for information.
We have a high-powered pulse cannon and 4 supernuclear missiles aimed at your pod. In the event that we fail to retrieve the hostage, elimination has been approved.
The holoscreen flickered, showing a medium-sized Federation cruiser with artillery bristling from all sides.
That's insane, Aaron whispered, as Rickle went still.
He was like a statue, suspended in midair, barely breathing, barely moving a muscle. And that terrible tension was still rolling off him, growing in intensity, until Aaron could almost read his thoughts. He wanted to kill his enemy, but the cold vacuum of space separated them. If they were together in the same vessel, chances were E1 would be dead right now.
Hand her over, alien, and nobody will get hurt. Refuse, and you'll only have yourself to blame.
Rickle's hand was still on her shoulder. Aaron covered his armor-encased fingers with her own, looking up at him.
I have to go with them. We have no choice.
He nodded, staring straight at the holoscreen with scary intensity, as if he could burn through the woman with his eyes.
Go, he said softly,
his gaze fixed upon the cold-faced woman on screen.
If anything happens to her, he told E1, I'll personally hold you and your entire race responsible, and in my culture, revenge is sacred.
He smiled, but there was nothing good in his smile. It was a smile that held promises of blood and retribution. It was the worst smile she'd ever seen him wear. E1 looked right back at him, her face a blank mask. If she was at all bothered by his words, she didn't show it.
She's coming with us.
Rickle glowered at the holoscreen as he moved back. Aaron tried to appease him with her glance, but that feeling of dark pressure was still there, curdling the air until it was thick with a sense of impending violence. Aaron was glad Rickle was on her side, but if they ever made it to Earth, he would have to try and tone down that death aura of his. It was enough to give people nightmares.
Prepare for retrieval, E1
said, in that same emotionless tone. If Aaron didn't know better, she would have sworn the woman was an android. She still couldn't believe they had the audacity to threaten them like this. What right did they have to do this? Even if they were operating under the guise of protecting Earth's borders, this kind of thing was unheard of. Something was very, very wrong, and left with no other options, Aaron was being forced to step into the belly of the beast, at gunpoint, because she'd been consorting with aliens. She was beyond compromised, and it was going to take all her wits to get out of this one unscathed.
They're dead if they hurt you, Rickle whispered as he bent to retrieve his weapons. Tell them whatever you have to. I trust you. You can't betray me, even if you tell them the truth. You haven't done anything wrong, my love.
There was a dull thunk from outside. The retrieval pod had connected. Rickle palmed two of his small knives, the ones she'd seen him throw countless times with deadly precision, and passed them to her. Thankfully, they were sheathed. Aaron discreetly accepted them, stashing them in the inside pockets of her flight jacket before zipping it up.
Just in case, he whispered,
as the pod's exit began to open, activated from the outside. The dull gray walls of a mobile airlock were revealed, and moments later, a space trooper appeared in the doorway, his features obscured by a shiny black visor. Rickle drifted to the side of the airlock, grabbing a handhold to steady himself in the weightless environment. His sword appeared in his hand as the trooper brought up a bolt rifle.
Stand down, alien. My boss doesn't fuck around. Any sign of trouble, and we're all going down. I'm as expendable as you are.
Rickle glared at the trooper, his sword resting by his side. His demeanor was deceptively relaxed, but Aaron knew he could explode into action at any moment. She gave him a reassuring glance.
Hold. Everything will be okay.
She didn't know that for sure, but the situation right now called for calm. Miraculously, he obeyed. Chapter 24 Rickle wanted to kill someone. It took all of his self-control to hold back. He watched silently as Aaron donned a helmet, preparing to step off into the airlock. His instincts were screaming at him to kill the human who was taking her away. But he had listened to her. Her calm gaze did powerful things to him, soothing the savage beast that dwelled in the void. She was the ice to his fire.